2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would, please. I think you're going to like this message today because it's extremely encouraging, actually. But I want you to realize that as we study, right, to show ourselves approved unto God, and then we talked last week about a workman, the skilled artificer, right? And to have one of, be one of high position or high rank in the labor of the King of Kings. That's special, right? And then this next phrase, I think you're gonna enjoy this, because I think we don't give as much sense to these things as we should. What God is trying to tell us, that we a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And it's probably not what you think that phrase means, but we're going to get into that today. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and if you'll read responsively with me the even verses, I'll read the odd verses by myself out loud. We'll start together in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that impose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may cover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. As we talk about this thing, this word, you don't need to, be able to speak and read Hebrew or speak and read Greek. I took a Greek class, and a Hebrew class in Bible college. I'm all for that, but that was a long time ago. I don't sit in my office with a Greek New Testament trying to read it. And I have an English one, and I can't even read that. that's hard enough. But it's good to understand at least a little bit about those ancient languages and those old languages, because you realize that what God gave us right now is a translation of those things. And I was just telling somebody just the other day that if God were to have had the translators give the entire sense of every word, you realize how big your Bible would be? Okay? It would be huge. You wouldn't be able to carry it around. All right? So there are words that mean more than we know that they mean, but it's the right word. Okay? Like this word ashamed. Okay? It's the right translation. It's the right word. But it doesn't mean just to feel shame. That's what the general word ashamed means. It's mentioned over 180 times in our King James Bibles. But I want you to realize that this particular Greek word that does mean ashamed, it does mean to feel shame, has a greater sense of shame. How many of you have ever felt shame before? Okay? Yeah, you felt shame. I have felt shame. I've been ashamed. There's things in my life that I've done that I've been ashamed. Now, how many of you have been ashamed, but you've also been or felt disgraced? Is that a difference? Yeah. Okay? So this particular ashamed is one of a higher level. It means disgraced. It's mentioned five times in our King James Bibles in this form of ashamed. Do you realize? You know what I'm talking about, okay? I'm not talking about a mistranslation. I believe the translation is right. But I'm talking about us studying, looking into things. And by the way, we ought to search out the scriptures and search out these things in our lives, if you will, to be approved of God. So this particular ashamed is a higher level of shame. It actually means disgraced, which, by the way, is part of the definition of ashamed. I'm going to read to you Webster's definition of the word ashamed. It means to be affected by shame. It means to be abashed or confused by guilt or a conviction of some criminal action or incredulous or indecorous conduct. Got that right? Of decor is not like you decorate the walls. Okay, you understand that? Okay, all right, good. Indecorous conduct or by the exposure of some gross error or misconduct, which the person is conscious must be wrong, and which tends to impair, and here's the last part, impair his honor or reputation. That takes it to the disgraced level. You understand that, right? Okay? So, realize that as he says, we are to be a workman, a skillful artificer or laborer that needeth not to be disgraced, ashamed, to a level that impairs our reputation or honor. By the way, who called us to be a workman? God. So, if we're less than we should be for God, we're going to be disgraced. We're not living up to the high level of labor or skill that God expects of us. Do you see how that goes hand in hand? So, I told you today it's going to be an encouraging message because it ought to be to us. Because if we do study to show ourselves approved unto God, that's the mindset we have. We are looking to Him for approval, right? We are showing or manifesting this in our lives to show a workman, a skillful artificer. I'm skilled in the things of the Word of God, then I don't need to be ashamed. I don't have to look over my shoulder. I don't have to wonder if God is in approval of me. I know. And that confidence is not in me. That confidence is in the one who's called me to be a workman. I have no need to be ashamed. Folks, listen to me. If we love God, and if we follow His commandments, because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we live the way we're supposed to live, we do not need to be ashamed. There's no need to be ashamed. So, I was talking about words, Greek words. This particular phrase, that needeth not to be ashamed, is one Greek word. Yeah. But it's a compound Greek word. It's actually three different roots in the same Greek word. Now, if you don't understand languages, I don't understand them either. I'm not even gonna try to pronounce this word because I forgot how to pronounce Greek words. But I don't even remember the letters. I know alpha. There's one. That's one I know. But there's a V or a V type. I don't remember what that word is. What is it? N? Okay, whatever it is. there's one that looks like an E. There's one that looks like a double T. There's another alpha. There's an I. There's the O with the tail thing. The X, there's the U, then another V, a T, an O, an S. It's a long word in the Greek. All right, can I tell you something? It is expressive of a confident workman that can carry themselves in such a way with confidence in what they're doing. So you see, this is an encouraging message to us. Because not do we have confidence in the flesh, but we have confidence in God. We are one let me just read to you what one commentator said. This is one who is not ashamed of his cause. Not ashamed of the cause. What does Paul say in Romans? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. So you understand that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this work, right? And when he went before the rulers and the governors and magistrates and Combs, think of it, the Roman guys. No, the higher ones. Pilate? No, not Pilate. Get out of here. She's trying. Emperors? Yeah, but what are they called? Caesars, thank you. Good grief. I couldn't think of the name. It's a salad. I mean, come on. You should remember that. No, the Caesars, yeah. When he went before those people, this is an easy word to remember, and I couldn't remember it. Don't you hate it when that happens? It's just right there, and you know it, but it's not there. Okay. But when he went before, he was bold. And so this speaks to that boldness. And so this commentator, he goes on and says this, strictly one who is barefaced, impudent, hence one who does not expect confusion. Others explain this is one, if you will, a workman, without being ashamed of himself, comes forward freely for the cause of the Lord. And so you understand this is one who is a bold Christian. Why? Because they study. Because they've labored. Because they have been diligent. Because they've been accomplished. They've had earnest and desire. They've had an endeavor. They've attained something. They've set their mind on it. They've showed it outwardly. There's a manifestation. Approval unto God. This is not about the flesh. This is about God. And they have done it, and they do not need to be disgraced. They do not need to feel shame. They do not, they are not disgraced. They are magnified in the sight of God. They're a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I want you to take your Bibles, and we're going to look at these five passages where this word ashamed is used this way. You see, why are we going to do that? Because it's different than most of the other explanations. But while you turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we're going to start. I'm going to read to you what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1. He says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought us life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. You notice that you feel the confidence of Paul. He says, look, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. There's nothing to be ashamed of in Jesus Christ.
Nothing, folks. And by the way, our confidence as Christians is not pride, is not arrogance. It is a boldness and a confidence in our great God. And we don't need to be ashamed of that. We need to carry it with confidence. Now, you're there in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 10. Look at verse 1. Now, as we read this, I may stop and highlight here a few things, but I want you to get the sense of this word. Remember, this is a long Greek word, and it has these connotations to it, that there does not need to be any sense of disgrace, because we are a workman, we have been employed, we have been commanded, this is of God, we should do this with great boldness and expertise, because we have a higher level of a calling of God. We're a workman. We're not just a laborer. We're not just a servant. We're not just a slave. We are a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. It's Paul's attitude, right? This is our attitude. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. By the way, is meekness and gentleness weakness? No, it's not. Actually, the word meek means strength under control. All right? Power under control. So there's great power, but it's under control. By the way, that's the example Christ gives of to us. You understand that? He says, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. By the way, are you feeling that this is a studied and learned man? Yes, he is, right? Do you feel his confidence and his boldness, but do you also feel the grace and the meekness and the gentleness that he has toward these people? In other words, the tact. He has tact. He's not just walking around slapping people in the face, making enemies. Right? He's doing this with some exact incision and precision, right? He's making skillful work. He's carving away what needs to be carved away, and he's leaving what needs to be left, and he's cunningly. Remember we talked about that? A cunning workman? He's cunningly carving and doing it with precision and knowledge. He says, and having in readiness, inner readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Look what he says. He says, do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ's, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction. Now here's the phrase. I should not be ashamed. Now realize, this is the same Greek word that's being used in our text. So it has that same connotation. It says, look, I don't have any feeling of guilt or disgrace. He said, I should not be ashamed. Why? Because I'm not doing this in the flesh. I'm not doing this of my own. I'm not doing this for me. I'm following a command of him that has sent me to be a workman. Do you realize what Paul is saying here? He's like, I'm not ashamed about this. There's a colon there. That I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. So what's he saying? He says, oh yeah, you're all big and bad in your letters, but when you come, you're not so big and bad. Can I tell you something? Paul did that on purpose. Could Paul have been big and bad in his letters and in his presence? Yes. But that wasn't what was supposed to take place. See, in his presence, amongst those people, he was there to love them and to show affection and care for them. And yes, your letters can be bold, but you see, he was a workman. He was a cunning artificer. He was a craftsman. He was molding and shaping these people according to God's design and God's leading. And he did not need to be ashamed of that. He says this, let such an one think this, that such as we are in words by letters when we are absent, such we will be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other man's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. He says, look, it's not about what you think or what I think. It's about what God commends. We're a workman approved unto who? Unto God. A workman, right? That needeth not to be ashamed. Folks, if we study, if we labor, if we look to God and the things of God, not comparing ourselves among ourselves, that's unwise, but looking at the eyes of Jesus saying, God, am I approved in your sight? Then there's no need to be disgraced or ashamed or to feel shame because we're doing what he wants us to do. We're conducting ourselves how he wants us to conduct ourselves. Look over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, this is used again. And yes, it's again by Paul. I understand this. Two examples by Paul. Paul uses this word three times, right? In our text in 2 Timothy. He also uses it in 2 Corinthians. He also uses it here in Philippians. He says, what then? Look at verse 18, sorry. First Philippians. Philippians 1, verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. So once again here, this has that long Greek word, needeth not to be ashamed. He says, in nothing I am ashamed. You understand that in Christ, there is no shame. In the Word of God, there is no shame. If we stay in the Word of God, if we study the Word of God, if we have it in us and through us and coming out of us, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Because we are in line with his approval. We are approved in his sight, and we are skillful, and we're studied, and we have knowledge, and we're gaining and gleaning and growing, and there's no need to be ashamed. How many of you work better in your life and you produce more and live better and feel better when you have no need to be ashamed. Now, there's a confidence there, right? There's a peace there that passes all understanding. God is with you. You know He is. And you feel good about it. And you have boldness and you have liberty and you have freedom to be what God wants you to be. Why? Because you're in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Hey, when the old things are passed away, you feel good. You got that dead weight off of you. But when we live back in that sin in the flesh and we're not studying and we're not showing ourselves approved, we're weighed down. There's not that freedom. And you know what? We do feel shame. We do feel disgrace because we're not living in the new life. I preached on Wednesday. By the way, thank you for those that prayed for me Wednesday morning. I don't know if God answered your prayer or not. I'm going to say He did. I didn't get to say half of what I wanted to say, or maybe even a quarter of what I wanted to say. But I was talking about desire and feeding your desire. You know, desire is a noun, or in one is also a verb. It can be used as a verb. But in the noun form, it's something we all attain. It's a thing. It's something we possess. All of us possess desire. For some of us, it's good, and for some of us, it's bad. Well, what determines whether that thing is good or bad? What you feed it. What you feed it. If you feed it bad stuff, guess what it's going to be? Bad. If you feed it good stuff, guess what it's going to be? Good. Hey, anyways, when it comes to those types of things, you realize that God wants us to have a good desire, right? Desire of the things that are good. Desire the things of God. And when we're a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that old life is gone. And I asked the question, I said, hey, if something is dead, do you feed it? No, you don't, right? Chickens. Everybody appreciates chickens. Y'all appreciate chickens? Okay, you do. Okay, good. If you have a chicken in your crock pot for lunch today, are you going to go feed it? No? Why? It's dead. You know, I mean, I guess you could go get those, you know, crumble pellets and things and go dump them in there with your chicken. I don't think that would be very tasty. And I don't think the chicken's going to eat it, do you? Why? Because it's dead. All right? You don't feed dead things, you eat dead things. Okay? Right? You don't feed them, you eat them. And so you listen, when something's dead, you don't feed it. So when something's dead and you're going to... By the way, how many of you would experience shame and disgrace if you carried a dead chicken around your neck? Because what would happen soon? It would stink. You know, that's actually a punishment in some countries that they do that to people. Yeah? It's nasty, right? But yet we go and put on that old flesh. Do you think we should be ashamed if we put on that old flesh? Yeah. But we're a workman. We're a skilled artificer of high esteem. We don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to live under that bondage. We can throw that dead thing off and live in the new life. That's the kind of Christian we should be. Listen to what Paul says. Are we still there in Philippians 1? We're kind of in the middle of this here after verse 18. He says that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But listen to what he says, comma, but that with all boldness, as always. I love Paul's words are so beautiful. Just listen to him. As always. And so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He says, look, I don't care what I'm doing. If I'm going to live, I'm going to be the best liver that there is. Okay, and I don't mean like a filter in your body, okay? Not that kind of liver. One who lives, a liver, right? That's how it should be, right, in the English language? But if I'm going to live, I'm going to be the best that I can be in living. And if I'm going to die, I'm going to be the best dyer that I can be. Right? I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to die for Christ. I'm going to be skillful in, as a workman, whether it's to live or to die, it's going to be for Christ. He says this, that he's going to be magnified. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's what it is. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So he says this, he goes on, he says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all your furtherance and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming again to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You feel what he's talking about. He's like, folks, in Christ, we will never be disgraced. We will never feel shame. In Christ Jesus, if we live a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, Paul spoke of this thing of being ashamed in this particular fashion of disgrace. In Luke 16, Jesus also spoke of this word. So in the Gospels, the four Gospels, the word ashamed is mentioned many times, but this one particular form of ashamed is in Luke 16. Flip over to Luke 16. This is in the parable of the unjust steward. Curious. Right? But what was the idea of the parable of the unjust steward? Someone who wasn't being a proper workman, but then did what? Figured it out, right? Said, hey, I need to do something about this. So, again, a curious sense of this word. So let's look at what Christ says. And he, verse 1, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Now, by the way, is this a good artificer for the Lord? No. Okay? So he says, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? By the way, don't you think Jesus would ask that question of us? Hey, I saved you. I shed my blood for you. I gave you the opportunity to come to know me as Savior. How is it that I hear this of thee? You're supposed to be of high esteem. You're supposed to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. How is it that I hear this of thee? He says, give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. And here it is. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. That's the same word, folks. So he said, hey, to beg, I'd be disgraced. To beg, not only would I feel shame, but I would be disgraced to beg. Now, why is that the case? In this case, it's very simple. What was his position? He was a manager. He was a manager. He was a higher up. He was a executive. He was in a level of leadership. He was the one supposed to be handing out the money to the ones that were begging. So in order for him to step down from that position or be cast aside from that position, to be in the opposite position of a beggar would be a disgrace. What does that mean for us, folks? We have been called out of this life of the flesh. We have been called to a new life as priests and kings. So to beg, we would be disgraced. Because that's not our position. That's not the position we were created to. By the way, in Ephesians 2, we talked about this a little bit last week, but we know that it talks about being saved, right? And then it says, for we are His workmanship, right? We're His workmanship. We're created to be something new. We're a new creature. That old life as a beggar is gone, and the new life as a manager has come. We would be disgraced, ashamed to beg, to be a beggar. And so we need to understand that, yes, this word is being used right. And by the way, this man said, I am resolved what to do. He was resolved what to do. He said, I need to fix this. By the way, one that needeth not to be ashamed is going to make it right. Because we don't need to carry that dead thing around our neck. We can get rid of it and let it go aside. Now, let's get over to 1 Peter 4. This might have to become another message. 1 Peter chapter 4. It's not my fault that there's so much in the Bible to talk about. Okay, that's not my fault. Is it? All right, well, 1 Peter 4, look at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. By the way, we had Paul, and now we had Jesus, and now we have Peter talking about this. He says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. There it is again. So you see, in the flesh, if we're not a workman, if we're not studying, then we should be ashamed. But we've been brought to another position in Christ Jesus, where if we do well, we shall not be ashamed. Because we are a workman. We are a laborer. We are skillful. We are a new creature in Christ. Very quickly, over to 1 John chapter 2. By the way, Peter finishes that phrase by saying, but let him glory, glorify God on this behalf. It's to the glory of God, folks, not to the glory of man. Okay, 1 John 2, look at verses 18 to 29. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. Skip down to verse 28, I think it is. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have what? Confidence, and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Now, just a couple of verses to close. So if we're going to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, needing not to be disgraced, needing not to have that shame, that feeling of shame, here's some words that you need to understand. God told Cain, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? Can I tell you, Christian, if we do well, shall we not be approved? Shall we not be, if you will, needeth not to be ashamed? And Isaiah, God says, Learn to do well. What is studying? Learning something that you didn't know before, right? Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. In James chapter 2, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. 1 Peter 2, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. 2 Peter chapter 1, no, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 2:20. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. 2 Peter 1, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. In other words, pay attention to, listen to, accept, fulfill, put into practice. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. 3 John 1:6, which have borne the witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Well, can I just say something? Those that do well receive a well done. We don't need to be ashamed. Did the one that had five and earned five others need to be ashamed? No. Why? Because he did well. The one that had two had earned others? He did well. Abel, when he brought the right sacrifice, he did well and he was accepted of God. Folks, if we do well, we shall be accepted. If we are a workman, then we are one that, we are a workman, a skillful artificer. One living in the victorious Christian life that's doing well needeth not to be ashamed. Needeth not to be ashamed. Oh, that's the way to live. That's the way God wants us to live. Why would we live with something dead hanging around our necks? And by the way, if you keep cramming food into something that's dead, that's going to stink too. It's going to get worse. Stop feeding that which is dead. Be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed.